The Super Bowl is set. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. Girlfriends, wives, all happy with the result. Jimmy G will be on full display in 2 weeks, Super Bowl Sunday. Alex and I, we're going to break down if Jimmy Garoppolo, are you jumping on the hype train? Is he worthy of the designation of franchise quarterback, somebody that can... I guess he's in the Super Bowl. Can you argue it, Alex? I mean, do you have any fuel to go after Jimmy G at this point to say maybe he's not as worthy as some other signal callers of the Super Bowl appearance?
I mean, he's really good at handing the ball off. We know that. they practice that a lot, the cadence, the downset hike part he's really good at. It's yet to be determined. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo win games. He went to New Orleans and won is probably his most signature win this season when 90 points were scored. He tore up the Arizona Cardinals defense, even though both of those games were close. He's shown flashes, but I think that defense is so good. So this is what it normally is. This San Francisco 49ers team is constructed for an old guy to be quarterback or a rookie to be quarterback. Where the best friends of either an aging vet or a new quarterback in the league is a great defense and a great run game. Jimmy Garoppolo is better than both of those options. He's just not the top-tier quarterback that everybody thinks he is, I don't think. But as a quarterback in the NFL, you get all the credit and then you get all the blame. So I guess it just comes with the territory, this on the positive side for him.
Yeah, I've been somebody who's very critical of Jimmy Garoppolo, especially during the season and with the results of how his numbers against the Arizona Cardinals, a lot of people can look at this as spilt milk and crying about it. But I didn't see Jimmy Garoppolo make the down the field throws against the Arizona Cardinals of any of his 8 TD passes against the Cards. I still wasn't that impressed. It's like shovel the ball out, throw it under 10 yards, let guys like Emmanuel Sanders, Debo Samuel, George Kittle do work. And look, there are guys, and sometimes game manager can become a four-letter word in the NFL, but that's exactly what Jimmy G is, and he can be the best at being a game manager. But at the end of the day, I just don't see him being capable of making the down-the-field throws necessary if he was chasing a lead late in a huge contest. I still haven't seen it, and luckily for the Niners, they're a team that's just well-oiled and in a position to where they don't need Jimmy G to do that.
Yeah, I would take Kyler over him.
I think you're right. Yeah, I mean, as far as when you're trying to rebuild a franchise, it seemed like Jimmy G was just kind of secondary to that Niners rebuild. They got him in the fold, and then they just started building around him. Maybe the Arizona Cardinals can follow that blueprint. I hope they do as far as what they invested, at least the Niners have, in the defensive side of the football. Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Coming up, we're going to look at, since it's a Tuesday, we're going to look back because we didn't do a show on Monday, a mock draft Monday, but it's now official. I think it's as official as it possibly can get. It's Pro Bowl week. Looks like Kirk Cousins received the alternate nod for the Pro Bowl, and that looks like Steve Keim is going to continue his run without a first-round selection making a Pro Bowl. Since taking over the reins in 2013, Steve Keim has never had a first-round pick make the Pro Bowl. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm your host, Bo Brock, along with Alex Clancy.
Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of what we're used to. Oh, Hassan Reddick. Oh, you know, he came out of Temple. I get it. Bruce Arians has the tie there. Oh, no pundits were saying he should go there. Yeah, but maybe Steve Keim has something with an outside linebacker. Oh, no, wait, but I thought he was a hand-in-the-dirt guy in college. Oh, no, but in the 4-3 system, he'll be an outside linebacker. And he's played 19 different positions with 4 different defensive coordinators. And DJ Humphreys, left tackle, first-round pick. Are you surprised at this, Bo?
Like, I thought with Kyler Murray getting the designation of an alternate and how there's so much turnover between the initial Pro Bowl rosters and where it ends up by game day, that Kyler Murray was going to make the team and it was going to end this drought for Steve Keim. But now it's kind of like, it's laughable. It's one of those things where you kind of like, sick mind like mine, I kind of want to see it continue. But you're right. I mean, it's Jonathan Cooper, Dan Buchanan, Hassan Reddick, DJ Humphreys, Josh Rosen, now Kyler Murray. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can just add another first rounder to the to Steve Keim's resume. That look, as much as I believe in Kyler Murray, his batting average with first round picks, it's horrible. It's an indictment against Steve Keim. And now that we're sitting here with the Arizona Cardinals looking at an eighth overall pick and potentially taking an offensive lineman, so far, I mean, outside of the 2019 season that DJ Humphries just experienced, he hasn't had a lot of success selecting offensive linemen in the first round. He's 0 for 2, kind of.
Yeah, and I guess maybe as kind of a bailout for Steve Keim, the Pro Bowl, as you said, it's been kind of watered down. Like, it doesn't mean as much as it once did, where I'm assuming, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I would assume that verbiage in contracts aren't weighted as greatly on Pro Bowl appearances as it once was. I'm sure All-Pro is still at the top tier, but you don't, I'm sure you don't get as much incentive to become, you know, to for $100,000 if you make the Pro Bowl, because as you said, there's so many guys that drop out now, it's kind of become a farce. But Steve Keim still, even with that, hasn't drafted a Pro Bowler, and it's kind of just our life here. With it's a microcosm of what we've experienced over the last several years with Steve Keim at the helm.
And I feel like it continues to be graded on a curve. Like, they see, you know, these small successes, but overall, Steve Keim, you know, regardless of making the right decision to move off of Steve Wilks and making the right decision to move off of Josh Rosen in favor of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and signing Jordan Hicks to a lucrative free agent contract and winning the deal with the Miami Dolphins, bringing over Kenyon Drake and what impact he made to kind of round out the 2019 season and seeing their running game go from the bottom of the barrel in the NFL to a top 10 running game. That's great, but at the end of the day, it resulted in a 5-win season. And it was improvement, it was minimal improvement, but regardless, he can still hang his hat on that Kyler Murray is probably a franchise quarterback. But I'm still seeing such a low batting average. I mean, it's like your Rob Deere, Adam Dunn type slugger, where this guy's going to hit, you know, 230, but he's going to hit 40 jacks. We're not even seeing that kind of consistency as far as hitting the ball out of the ballpark. Like, this is proof right here. Like, he hasn't had a Pro Bowler in the first round. You have to have, at some point, drafting guys who make enough big enough impact, whether it's statistically or just notoriety, to where they're going to make their way to Orlando or Hawaii or wherever this, you know, all-star game's being held. I just think it's still an indictment against Steve Keim that he can't pick a guy that's going to end up playing the Sunday before the Super Bowl.
And that's not to say Kyler Murray won't make any Pro Bowls. We know sure. He will at some point. But at this point, it's still fun to talk about the inability for Steve Keim to draft a Pro Bowler. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals. We will allude to who the Cardinals are slated to take in myriad mock drafts. And it's not on the left side of the line, but it's still somebody that is absolutely necessary for the betterment of this offensive line for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll talk about that next, right here, Locked On Cardinals.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side of the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James, King James, to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, quote, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind." And if you head to calm.com/lockedon, all one word, you'll get 40% off the Calm Premium membership. With Calm, you have the access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves. Who knew that LeBron is just sitting there listening to rain sprinkle down on leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with 40% off discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help your focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. Guys, let's talk about sex, good sex. Remember the days when you were just ready to go? Now you can increase your performance, get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up as twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready to go whenever the opportunity arises. Now, it isn't just for a guy who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Cardinals. Things change the more they stay the same. Last night, it was like reliving some old nightmares from 10 years ago. The Spurs taking out the Suns 120-118. Suns, they tried their best to rally back from a huge deficit. Devin Booker, 37 points. But the Spurs, they just continue to have the Suns' number. Evan Sidery, Brendan Kleen over at Locked On Suns. Check them out if you haven't already. They're a great listen. They have all the insight, as Alex points out, more analytical than he and I, but great listen nonetheless if you want to gear up on the Suns. 18 wins now. They had the loss yesterday. Had a pretty solid road trip to the East Coast. They were able to do what LeBron couldn't do and took out the Celtics the other night. But check out Locked On Suns, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Locked On Cardinals. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Bob Brack, at Clancy's Corner, at Locked On AZ Cards. And Alex, it also was like reliving a nightmare on Championship Sunday, watching Tremaine Brock just fail in the second half and the Titans fall to the Chiefs after playing them tight early in that game.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the almost incredible comeback in week one by the Arizona Cardinals when they were down 1,000 points to Detroit. And Matthew Stafford throws a ball with, what, was this in regulation?
No, it was OT.
No, it was OT. Right. So Matt Stafford throws a ball. He's probably inside his 25-yard line, throws it to about the 40, and it hits Tremaine Brock in the chest plate. And Tremaine Brock, well, and to Tremaine Brock's defense, he stopped, I think it was a Danny Amendola. It was either Amendola or Kenny Golladay. I can't remember. He broke up what would have been the game-winning touchdown pass earlier in the game. But, man, the ball hit him right in the plate of the chest. And if he would have just put his arms around the ball after it hit him in the chest, the Cardinals could have won that game. a little insider info. Bo texted me, what, 20 minutes before? So there was what? Did you text me after the pass interference call?
No, I text you after he gave up the big touchdown, I believe.
Oh, that's right. And then there was the big pass interference call that ended the
huge
game.
PI.
Yeah, so that happened 15 minutes after Bo texted me. And, yeah, I mean, there are reasons why guys get cut. And normally the Cardinals are on the receiving side of a player that's been cut. And they're like, oh, we know that guy. Come on, we'll make you better. And then they end up not being great. It was just an awful display of, man, he shouldn't be in the NFL anymore, football.
It is kind of interesting to see sometimes when guys are cast off of bad teams or non-playoff teams, and then they end up in a playoff race, and then they continue to show. It's like, oh, yeah, we knew this. We knew this about Tremaine Brock. And then on the other side of the coin, Terrell Suggs is heading back to another Super Bowl. Tyrann Mathieu's heading to a Super Bowl. That's one thing I was thinking about is, like, what could have been? Like, did the Cardinals have the luxury? I don't know if they did to keep Tyrann Mathieu. I know you were very vocal about Mathieu and Calais Campbell when they exited the franchise. I don't know, what are your thoughts now that he had one of the best, another solid season, and he's headed to a Super Bowl, and he's a big part of that Chiefs defense?
Steve Keim, this is not like they couldn't figure out a contract between him and Honey Badger. They gave him too much money, and then they regretted it after.
Yeah.
Because they didn't see the grand scheme of everything. I'm assuming when everybody saw that number, I think he got 40 mil guaranteed, something like that. And I know that the season before, I believe, and my math may be off here by a year, that he played the most snaps of any defensive back in the NFL. Or he had him as a slot corner. He played safety. He played everything. He played all over the field. He was finally healthy. And then Steve Keim goes and says, hey, we need some of that money back, pretty much. I mean, they wanted him to restructure. And he said no, because why should he? It's not Tyrann Mathieu's fault that they gave him too much money then. And it's looked at, oh, well, they couldn't figure out a reason, and, oh, Mathieu isn't a team player. That's not it at all. Steve Keim gave him too much money, and then this is where we're at now. And with Calais Campbell on the other side, they gave him equal to the amount of money that they gave David Johnson. I think, well, they wanted he wanted 31 million. I believe that was the number. And they thought it was too much for an aging guy. And he was the leader. He was the Braveheart in the Saxonville tirade over the NFL the next season. So two huge swings and a miss for Steve Keim.
Yeah, and it's important to point those out as we're going into another crucial offseason for the Arizona Cardinals in 2020. The cap space, not exactly, you and I were kind of talking about this off air. It's not as large of a number as we expected, but still enough. It's going to be over $50 million by your math. And where are you looking at it? It's over the cap?
Yes, overthecap.com.
Yeah, so like where they should have enough money to go out there and get one or two impact players in free agency, depending on, you know, what Steve Keim, what kind of magic he's able to work or not work. But it is kind of a tough pill to swallow that, you know, the Cardinals gifted the Chiefs a guy like Terrell Suggs, but also cool in its own right to see him get another chance at a Lombardi trophy, one that he's already won in Baltimore. And then Tyrann Mathieu going to go out there and he's making big play after big play for this Chiefs defense. I got to think that Cardinals fans are pulling for Mathieu. I think that's who they got to be rooting for and not their NFC West division foe in the Niners in the big game.
Yeah, this is the fifth time in the last 8 years that an NFC West team has made the Super Bowl, which is like, if the cards weren't stacked against the Cardinals already, that just adds extra fuel to the fire. Tristan Wirfs is a big name out of Iowa that is linked to the Cardinals at the 8th overall pick. If the Cardinals do in fact stick at that draft position, we will talk about him and maybe what the Cardinals should do elsewhere if not draft the right tackle from Iowa. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock will be right back. But first, this is the best time of year to be in Arizona.
Yeah,
January to like May 1st, spring training. The weather is gorgeous. You can go hiking. You can play golf. You can go swimming. You can go to the Grand Canyon. You can go into the mountains at Flagstaff or Pine Top or Payson. You can do so many things in, what, a 90-mile radius? I know that the Grand Canyon is a little bit further, but when it comes to spring training, especially Bo being the big baseball guy that you are, there aren't many things better that time of year, right?
No, not at all. And especially how it's not like Florida. It's not the Grapefruit League where they're just spaced out and you're traveling hours at a time to go from stadium to stadium. You're pretty much 20 minutes from anything in Central Phoenix. You can go out to Surprise. You can check out the Rangers and the Royals. You can go out to Glendale, see the White Sox and the Dodgers. And the cool thing about each one of these stadiums is they got a little flavor from the team that is playing at that stadium. Like if you're seeing the Dodgers play in Glendale, you can eat a Dodger dog. If you go out to Goodyear and you check out the Reds, you can eat some Skyline chili, even though Joe Burrow's knocking the delicious food. And then if you go out to Mesa, you can have yourself a Chicago dog while watching the Cubs play at Sloan Park. It's just awesome that they got that little, just those little hints of home for people traveling out to the desert, enjoying the amazing weather, and also watching big league baseball at a low price. It's just awesome. It's my favorite time of year. I think things really start to kick off next week when you've got the Waste Management Phoenix Open. That kind of starts the party off. But it's just this is why people live in Arizona, is because of this time of year.
I mean, yeah, I don't miss California anymore. I mean, that's where I'm at when it comes to just the tourism in and of itself with Arizona. It's becoming less and less overlooked as the years go on. It's family friendly. Bring your kids, do whatever you want. I mean, there's aquariums, there's parks. The Botanical Gardens is great. Family friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining.
Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy. It's Tuesday, but it's a mock draft Monday. First podcast of the week. We go to our friends over at thedraftnetwork.com. They're churning out mock drafts 5.0. This is the fifth edition. Joe Marino, he's the drafter today. Last week it was Benjamin Solek, who had the Arizona Cardinals taking the tackle out of Alabama. And I didn't disagree with it. I think it's one of those things where if the Cardinals are going to go take Jedrick Wills out of Alabama and try to bolster their offensive line, I have no problem with it. Andrew Thomas, no problem with him. The big tackle out of Georgia, or Tristan Wirfs, according to Marino this week, that's the latest tackle. Who would be the third tackle taken in the top 10? You think there's going to be a run on quarterbacks? Offensive line, also a premium position. Alex, what are your thoughts on Tristan Wirfs and the Cardinals at 8?
I mean, the only question I have is he going to come out? Because his mom, I think there was a story that his mom said, yo, you got to go finish college, man. And it's not. I don't think he's declared yet. I don't think he's officially declared for the draft. I don't think he's hired an agent, because he still needs to figure out if he's going to go back for another year of college. And if I were him, I would sit his mom down. I'm sure a very nice lady says, Mama, Mom, I will go back to college like Shaq did after I make $30 million. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
I promise I will go back. And if I don't go back, I will give you all my money. I mean, just whatever. It's very rare opportunity for an offensive lineman to be one of three where it's almost guaranteed he's going to be a top 10 pick. It's not like Mike McGlinchey, where I don't know if – did they trade up for him? Doesn't matter. It's not every day that an offensive lineman goes in the top 10 in this day and age. I mean, there's a lot of DBs, wide receivers, quarterbacks that take up a lot of those slots, where 5 or 7 years ago there was probably a better chance that an O-lineman would go that high. At 8, if you're slated to go at 8, you got to come out, right? I mean, it's kind of a – especially as an offensive lineman, right.
I get a little concerned, though, when I see that the Cardinals are selecting, you know, the third best offensive lineman. We saw what they were doing when they selected the fourth best quarterback in the class at 10th overall. I think that you need to strengthen your team. I definitely don't believe that I think that Steve Keim lies to us when he says he's going to pick the best player available. But I really would doubt that a guy like Tristan Wirfs would be the eighth best player available, especially if two players at his same position at the offensive tackle position were selected ahead of him, that the Cardinals, if they had an opportunity to pimp out the interior of their defensive line with a guy like Derrick Brown from Auburn, or Isaiah Simmons, who I am on his hype train, I'll ride or die with Simmons, because what I've saw from him from Clemson, I think he would be a huge boost to this defense. And in Marino's draft, they have him going to the Browns at 10. I don't like the idea of taking the third best offensive lineman, despite what your need is for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and I'm still not believing the fact that if CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy are there at 8, that the Cardinals are just going to pass. Like, I just don't. It's so difficult. After they drafted Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury being the head coach, they haven't drafted a lineman in, aside from DJ Humphreys, in a long time in the top rounds. In the last 3 years, I don't believe they've drafted a lineman in the top two rounds. It's wide receiver in the second round every year.
What was it? Mason Cole was, I think, a third round pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mason Cole barely saw the playing field last year.
Right.
And A.Q. Shipley was a guy at his age, undersized, despite his leadership. I mean, he couldn't outplay A.Q. Shipley, which is, you know, and I don't mean to knock Shipley, but when you look at the size and the athleticism from Mason Cole and the fact that he couldn't outplay and find time on the offensive line, it's kind of shocking. But you're right. Instead, in the 2019 draft, they pretty much punt on the offensive line position and they go wide receiver, and none of the three wide receivers have over 200 yards receiving. So they need an impact player at eight. And I don't know if it's going to be the third best offensive tackle on the board, despite the Cardinals really needing that. Derrick Brown from Auburn, as I said, Isaiah Simmons, Jerry Jeudy is going 11th in this draft. Christian Fulton, an awesome cornerback at LSU. CeeDee Lamb goes 13th to the Colts. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of talent on the board that you would be shying away from in favor of just trying to fit in, okay, the next best lineman in this draft.
Right, and the Josh Rosen comp is correct. It's spot on. And now you know that Steve Keim has added pressure to draft an offensive lineman. So maybe this is just like the Tyrann Mathieu situation. Steve Keim is going to look at it and be like, oh man, I can't believe we're in this position where I take an offensive lineman, it doesn't work out, I'm still the bad guy. You put yourself in this situation.
Right.
This is the snowball effect of so many botched decisions in the past to where, yeah, you're probably forced to take an offensive lineman, and it could be a Levi Brown situation. We have no idea what these wide receivers are going to be like. You could be passing on two Randy Mosses. But if you are, it's because you put yourself and this franchise in this situation, and you have nobody to blame but yourself.
Right. He neglected the position, just like they neglected the future of the quarterback position for far too long. I mean, we all saw the writing on the wall with Carson Palmer. I mean, we knew that the end of his career was coming, and the Cardinals did nothing. They didn't draft anybody at the position until Josh Rosen, until it was too late, and until they were kind of put, you know, you had to twist their arm to make the selection, and it didn't work out. So hopefully they're not going to do the same thing with the offensive line. It's something that they need to absolutely invest in. They have more than enough money to do it either through free agency, maybe get creative with trades, or maybe later in the draft. But if the reality comes to be where, you know, the two best offensive linemen are already off the board, and Jedrick Wills and Andrew Thomas, and you're set there with Wirfs, I don't like it. I think that you take an impact player at a different spot on the roster.
Plenty of time to talk about this for the next couple months. Alex Clancy-Bobrock will continue the conversation tomorrow. It's Locked On Cardinals.